Good morning. I'd like to I was like, good morning. It's time for this morning's hymn sing. If anyone has a song they would like to hymn they would like to start off with, please raise your hand.
Five twenty-six.
One and three? Okay. Okay, Alita?
7:23? 1 and 4.
Terrific. Someone else have a hymn they'd like to hear? Susan?
348.
One and four is good. One and four, okay. I think we have time for one more. Deb. 73, 1 and 5. Oops. Oh, worship the King, O glorious above, and praise Him, let's pray. Thank you, Colleen. That was beautiful. It's always beautiful because I can't play at all, so I'm very impressed. I want to welcome everyone this morning. I know we still have May Gray, but I think we're starting to move beyond it. Please sign in on the red pads in the pews if you have not done so already. Excuse me. And I want to wish happy birthday one more time to our May people, April and Everett, William, Gary, Beverly, and Susan. I hope all of you had a great birthday month. June people, gear up. Your month is coming. Remember, you get the whole month. The adult discussion classes in the Chameleon Room, which starts at 11 a.m. this morning, they're starting to show the episodes of The Chosen, starting with the first season, episode one, and moving through all the way through season five, which I know we haven't seen yet. And even if you don't normally stay for the discussion class, I'm going to encourage you to stay to see The Chosen. I've seen the first four episodes, and I'm going to see it again. We know the story, but this is shown in such a way that there are nuances to it that you maybe never thought about, and it, for me, puts it more into a historical context of more like what life was really like during that time. I think it's just a phenomenal thing. I hate to call it a production. I know that's what it is, but it's more than that for me. So I encourage people to come and watch it. I think it's fabulous. Excuse me. FINCA is a nonprofit organization that provides small business loans to women. This allows them to start a profitable business, helps provide food, health care, and education for their families. As little as $25 can start a business, which I have to admit I did not really know that. If you are interested and want to donate, you can go to finca.org and it will direct you through that process and what you need to do. The Parents Night Out on May 30th, 6 p.m. to 8:30. They have snacks, games, and a children's talent showcase, which should be a lot of fun. And we've got some very talented kids. So again, something you would like to do, or you know people who maybe don't attend here on a regular basis, if at all, but they have young children or grandchildren, this is a good place for them to be on a Thursday night. The next pastor's luncheon will take place June the 11th at noon at Legend 8 China in Calamasa. The cost is $15. And please let us know if you're coming. There's a sign-up sheet over in the fellowship hall. And that lets us know who's coming, how many's coming. And so hopefully the right amount of food can be ordered. sometimes I think the pastor gets take-home leftovers. But it is, it's great fun. My sister and I go every month, and it's great fun, great conversations, and I think it's just a fun time. I recommend it. The Saturday movie in June will be on the 14th at 11 a.m., The Bridge to Terabithia. Leslie and Jess push past their personal struggles and create this secret kingdom of Terabithia, a land of monsters, trolls, ogres, and giants where they spend their free time ruling as king and queen and fighting evil creatures. I want to go there. I'm with them. And the movies are great. So is lunch, which Deb provides for us, and it's always good. Joseph and the Technicolor and the amazing Technicolor dream coat. The Merry Methodists will be taking a trip to the Redlands Bowl Saturday, July 26th at 8 p.m. And contact Deb to arrange carpool. And I've been to some of the productions at the Redlands Bowl. They're usually very, very good. And it can be a lot of fun to be there. I used to have a friend who, a former coworker, who was on the board there. So They do a really terrific job. We do need contributions to support our two Common Hope sponsored children in Guatemala. If you can help with a donation over and above your regular giving, please mark it for Common Hope. And do remember that the donations don't just help that child, that individual child, it actually helps their whole family. So anything that you can do is going to make a difference. And are there any other announcements? I keep having the feeling I'm missing something, but maybe not. If not, if you would please stand if you are able to join in the call to worship. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see.
By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to him
must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who honestly seek him.
And our first hymn this morning is I Will Sing of My Redeemer on the insert.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt that made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my Lord has tasted to save. In his boundless love and mercy, for the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, pay the debt and make me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant partner, how the victory he gives over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
Amen. And while we've still got you standing, if you would turn and pass the peace to your neighbor.
Ha ha.
I know. They want to continue. That's okay. We are having fun.
There's a lot of peace.
All righty, everyone. Let's recognize our faithful worshipers online. We are sorry that we miss you guys, but apparently our neighborhood here around the church had issues with the Frontier, that is the internet provider. But we are back online, and we are so happy to see you all. Good morning, Helen. We missed you last Sunday. I mean, you never miss any worship. You know, Helen, when she was here, she used to, she was always here. And then she would take the CD and listen to my message. She listened to my message twice every Sunday. So happy to have Helen. And hello to June and Joyce. So good to see you. And Ken is not somewhere out in the universe, but in Georgia. Good to see you, Ken. And thank you for helping us to test on the audio on Zoom. And looks like George is now situated in Arkansas. Right, George? Yeah, we want to hear a little bit more about that, so tell us later on.
Wait till I get to the back with a microphone, and then you can share.
Yeah, just a little bit later.
And just so you know, Georgia is in the universe, so.
Yeah, and welcome Chris, David, Alicia, and Carol, and Mike. So good to see you all.
Now, please share any joys and concerns you have with Deb. She has the mic.
Good morning, everyone. Alita here. I just want to say I dedicate the flowers on the altar today to all veterans everywhere, near and far, those long since passed and those retired. I thank you for what you have done in the past, what you continue to do, and ask God to continue to watch over you and those who have long since passed. Thank you for your dedication, your service, and may God grant you and your family peace, and may the Lord continue to watch over all veterans as they continue their service. And thank you, Gina, for doing the flowers for me. They're beautiful.
And thank you, Alita, for your contribution to the flower.
I have a joy, and it is Deb. Yesterday we had a wedding here, and I was so exhausted, and I lost my phone, and I couldn't find it anywhere, and it was turned off. And Deb found it, and she brought it to me at my house. And
nice.
I want to thank her for everything that she does for us. And please don't ever leave us, because we need you, and we love you.
And I want to just ask for prayers for Neo and Soleil that were married here yesterday. It was a really beautiful wedding, and Judy did a wonderful job also pulling all that together, so thank you.
Well, I have a praise report from my cousin Mary. Her son Ricky, who we've been praying for, he is got a test done this last week, and he's now cancer-free.
Wow.
Oh, and our granddaughter Mimi was in a car accident yesterday. So she's got an ankle that's swollen. She was in the back seat, so. Don't know anymore.
Her.
If I could add one more concern, I've asked for prayers before for Jane Porter. She's the sister-in-law of one of my very best friends. She fell twice and hit her head, which I've already talked about, hit her head both times. She's been in a facility with getting physical therapy and stuff. She developed a UTI, which was very serious, and she was not making sense. Cognitively, she just seemed off. And they were treating her for that. She has now developed COVID pneumonia.
Oh, wow.
And she is in, she was taken to the hospital and she's in quarantine, of course. My friend saw her the other day and she was doing a little bit better, but it's still rough going. It's just one thing on top of the other. So I would ask prayers for the Porter family. It's just a very trying time for all of them.
And George, if you want to unmute now, you can share with us.
Yes, since I've been here, I've had thunderstorms, tornadoes, rain, and it's wonderful.
Well, we're glad you're still safe and enjoying the weather, because it's going to be lots of different things than you're used to in California. Anybody else?
You wouldn't believe what goes on here. I have deer in the morning and turkeys in the afternoon, and I have squirrels all around. I'm just having a wonderful time.
Very nice. Very nice. We are happy for you.
Thanks, everybody.
We miss you too, but we're glad you're enjoying your life out there. Anybody else on Zoom have something to share? Unmute.
Okay, if you would now join me in the unison prayer as on the screen or in your bulletin. Dear Lord Jesus,
our faith is built upon a firm foundation that cannot be shaken.
And yet our hearts are often swayed by instabilities and insecurities. Help us trust in your steadfast love to conquer doubt and disbelief. Grant us your enduring peace that wells up tranquility and thanksgiving in all circumstances.
May we never be moved. For you, Jesus, are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. And we can lift up our unspoken prayers at this time. Prayers for ourselves, our loved ones. And let us pray for this nation, and especially for those who are in the service, and remember all those sacrifices that our people in duty have made to serve this country. Lord, we see the turmoil out there in the world. We see many conflicts among the people, among the communities, and among the world, in this world. We see troubles everywhere, and the trouble that we see don't seem to go away. But, oh Lord, despite all that we see, we also see your presence. You are the one who have everything under your control with your power and might. In spite of the discouragement we experience in the world, we also see you in control so that we can commit our lives to you. We can trust in your power and we can still be at peace. So, Lord, increase our faith and please remove all the doubts away from our hearts and from our lives that we may always come closer to you and trust you all the more, that we may continue on with confidence in your loving care. Whatever the challenges that this life may bring to us, we can overcome all the challenges as we trust in you and in your power. So, Lord, we come together as the one community of faith, believing in your presence, your living presence in our lives, your presence that never fails. We come confessing that you are our sovereign God, you are our Savior, and we can be liberated from the trouble in our hearts, trouble in our personal lives, and trouble that we see in the world. So come unto us with your Holy Spirit and touch our heart and touch our lives that we may restore the confidence in you, that we may not be swayed by any trials of life, but we may continue to hold on to you. So, Lord, we recognize your power, your presence in our lives, and we submit ourselves and all the cares that we have to you and pray that your will be done. We trust that you have a wonderful plan for us, and we pray that your wonderful plan be accomplished in our lives, in this church, in this community, in this nation, and the world today. So we now join our hearts in prayer, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
It is time for our Young at Heart moments with Deb Davidson.
Written by Mark Batterson and Summer Batterson Daly, illustrated by Benedetta Capriotti. Big sound, little sound, where in the world is God's voice found? Can you hear God crashing in the waves? Can you hear him echo in the caves? Do you hear him when a bird chirps or when your sister slurps? Can you hear him on top of a mountain or even at the drinking fountain? Do you hear God's voice when you're feeling sad, or perhaps when you're a little mad? God speaks through stars that shoot through the sky. God speaks in whispers as soft as a sigh. Why is God whispering so you barely hear? It's really quite simple. You have to get near. Sort of like Grandma who gives you a hug or tucks you in bed all nice and snug. God whispers down deep to the depths of your heart. I've been with you from the very start. God speaks through his word so you know what is right. God speaks in dreams by day and by night. God speaks through nature like a big blue glacier. God speaks through family and friends and so much more, sometimes right in the middle of a chore. Just like waves that speak for the ocean or friends who make quite the commotion. God points the way for you to go. God whispers things you need to know. He says what is true, that you can be you, even in all of your hullabaloo. Late at night, after you close your eyes, and long before it's time to rise, God is present, God is waiting, God is even recreating. So when you wake up to a world that's spinning, jump out of bed, get dressed, start grinning, for God's whisper is in your smile, a smile even bigger than a crocodile. Some days are filled with lots of fun, like running and jumping and playing in the sun. Mom tickles your tummy and makes you wiggle until you let out a great big giggle. But even on days that aren't so good, days when you don't feel heard or understood, your feelings, they matter, even if they're all mixed up like pancake batter. God is speaking, rain or shine. God is loving all the time. Remember that God is still right here, listening to every single prayer. Above all else, know this is true, that God is singing all around you. And what is he saying in that voice still and small? That you, my dear, are his favorite of all. The end. J.D. Walt wrote something that really touched me. He said, I used to think that God didn't speak to me very often, or maybe he didn't have much to say to me. But I've learned over the years that I'm rarely close enough, still enough, and attuned enough to pick up the whisper. God is always whispering, always, and it's my highest calling to draw near him and listen. Amen.
And our next hymn is Abide With Me, number 700.
Abide with me, first falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide, when other helpers fail and comforts flee. Help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Sweep to his close about life little day. Her joys grow dim, his glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. Oh, thou who changest not, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power. Who like thyself my guidance take and be. Through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me.
This morning's scripture reading is from Acts Chapter 27, verses 13 through 25. When a moderate south wind began to blow, they thought they could achieve their purpose, so they weighed anchor and began to sail past Crete, close to the shore. But soon a violent wind, called the Northeaster, rushed down from Crete. Since the ship was caught and could not be turned head on into the wind, we gave way to it and were driven by running under the lee of a small island called Cotta. We were scarcely able to get the ship's boat under control. After hoisting it up, they took measures to undergird the ship. Then, fearing that they would run on the Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and so were driven. We were being pounded by the storm so violently that on the next day, they began to throw the cargo overboard. And on the third day, with their own hands, they threw the ship's tackle overboard. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest raged, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul then stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and thereby avoided this damage and loss. I urge you now to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For last night there stood by me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before the emperor. And indeed, God has granted safety to all those who are sailing with you. So keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning. So good to see you all in here. Always good to see you here. Believe it or not, I will be concluding my 10th year of ministry in Yucaipa. And so far, I haven't heard any news from the bishop's office, so I'm going to begin my 11th year in July. So there's still one more month left. And things can happen, but I don't think it will. Anyway, I've been thinking a lot about the, I mentioned several times about my retirement and my sort of eagerness to retire, and I've been praying a lot about what's gonna happen and what God would do, as I have shared many times. You know, by this time you know a lot about me. I had a trouble receiving a call as a teenager, and I fought against it. I tried to run, and didn't work. And I came back, and still the question about calling had remained in me for some time. Tried to quit the ministry a few times. I was so happy when I was going through the ordination process.
the bishop sent me a notice saying that, well, there are not many churches available for you guys, so we cannot ordain you even though you passed the ordained examination. And I said, what a good chance. This is the time that I can finally excuse myself and, you know, be away from the ministry. But, you know, strange things started to happen. Pastors started dying off. And there were churches, you know, available. I'm not joking. That's really, this is what happened. So I was like out of the, they, first time ever, they put a rank in the all the ordainees, right? I was like a rank 3 or 4 out of like a 20 ordainees. And the bishop said, when the opening would be available, then you will be ordained, right? And there wasn't still opening. And then, you know, pastors began to die. It's like, I told that later to the pastor, retired pastor in Northampton, Massachusetts. He was a retired minister serving a congregational church, and I had a college ministry going on in there. After I told him about that, he finally retired because he didn't want to die. But anyway, you know, I struggled with my calling, and, you know, it's been 42 years since I began ministry, and what's going to happen after I retire? And am I going to be free, finally, from the ministry? Well, answer I got is no. Hope it's not going to be a parish ministry, and, you know, my body is getting old, and I won't be able to do the physical labor as I have done here for the last 10 years. But that's when I was reflecting upon my calling, and God spoke to me, and that's in a way that God gave me a message, and that's something that I'm gonna share. And it's not just to me, but it applies to each and every one of you. And that's the confidence I have in you that no matter where you are in your life, no matter how old you are, no matter how you understand about your ability, God has mission for you and for me. And the mission is not changed until we go to see him face to face. Actually, that's the summary of my message. But anyway, so glad to see you all, and I am grateful for your presence and for having been the partner of ministry for the last 10 years. A British destroyer was patrolling the Atlantic when a German U-boat began circling at a distance. The British captain watched calmly as the U-boat's radio man came on the air, hurling insults at the Empire, mocking the royal family, and cursing up a storm. The crew was irritated, but the captain stayed cool. Hours passed. Then, through his binoculars, the captain spotted a German sailor climb out onto the deck of the U-boat. The man stretched, looked around, and casually spat into the sea. Without hesitation, the captain barked, "Battle stations, full speed ahead, sink that bloody sub." His first mate shocked and asked, "Sir, why now? He's been insulting us all day." The captain growled, "I can tolerate slander, I can endure treason, but when he spits in our ocean, that's an act of war." During World War II, the whole world battled against just three nations, Germany, Japan, and Italy. However, today's international conflicts are much more complicated and worse than ever. Along with the intricate international relationship, the world economy is grappling with unstable market conditions. Undoubtedly, the world is caught in a massive storm. The storm that the ship Paul boarded encountered describes more than just the condition of Paul's journey to Rome. It figuratively illustrates the perilous world, its spiritual shipwreck, and most importantly, the kinds of tasks God has assigned to his followers in this broken world. We learn about the Great Commission in relation to our calling last Sunday. Today, we will explore the turbulent states of the world and reflect on the mission-oriented perspective we should maintain during life storms. Storms that we face tells God's interventions, God's plan in our lives. This coming Thursday, May 29th, is the day of Ascension. So next Sunday, the first Sunday of June, we will study the significance of Jesus' ascension in relation to our calling. So that'll conclude, in a way, the series of messages that I've been delivering in relation to the Great Commission that we all have received. The Apostle Paul was converted shortly after the Jerusalem church was established following Pentecost around 36 AD. The Jerusalem church officially recognized Paul's ministry among the Gentiles and appointed him as a missionary to the Gentiles around 50 AD. For the next decade, Paul created three distinct mission circuits in Israel, Syria, Turkey, and Greece, traveling over 10,000 miles to preach the gospel and establish churches. After completing his third missionary journey, he was arrested in Jerusalem. During his trial, Paul revealed that he was a Roman citizen and appealed to Caesar. Around 60 AD, he was sent to Rome by ship, and part of the chapter of 27 we read, but the whole chapter, 27, describes Paul's treacherous journey to Rome across the Mediterranean Sea. Paul's mission appeared to have completed when he was arrested and tried in Jerusalem and in Caesarea, but God still had a plan for Paul. Shortly after Paul boarded the ship, the winds blew against it, significantly slowing their trip. Paul warned them that the voyage would be very dangerous. However, the centurion in charge of transporting criminals listened to the pilot and the ship's owner, who did not want to delay the journey. The ship crawled along as far as Crete Island, and I know many of you have been to visit this Mediterranean island located in southern Greece. But from then on, the situation deteriorated with a violent wind. They had to throw the cargo and tackle overboard to lighten the ship as much as possible. The tempest raged in darkness for about 2 weeks, and everyone lost hope of survival. It was then that Paul stood up and delivered a message of hope. The ship was completely wrecked, but everyone on board was saved, just as Paul had told them. So think about the ship and the passengers and the situation they were in. They symbolize our mission field. Caught in storms and aimlessly drifting in the vast sea. That's our mission field. You know why they are caught in storm and aimlessly drifting in the vast sea? Because of godlessness. Our mission field without God is destined for shipwreck spiritually. And Paul represents us, God's people, called into the stormy world. As Paul delivered a message of hope, we are called to tell the world, the stormy world, that God is the anchor people can hold on to in life's storm. It is a stormy world out there, and we are called to share the good news of Jesus, for Jesus is the only anchor that can save them. What does an anchor do during a storm? It stabilizes the ship and prevents it from drifting. However, the storm during Paul's voyage was so fierce that the anchors could do nothing to stabilize the ship. Chapter 27 of Acts mentioned anchors several times. Apparently, the ship had many anchors, but those anchors could not save the ship. At the end of the chapter, they cast off the anchors to run the ship aground. Likewise, during life storms, worldly anchors, that is, our means of survival, do not work. However, the spiritual anchor in Christ saves us and instills confidence in God's power. Jesus calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee perfectly parallels the storm that Paul and all the passengers faced, illustrating the confidence of believers during life's tempest. A sudden storm terrified the disciples, who feared that they would drown. In the midst of the storm, Jesus was sound asleep. After he awakened, he calms the storm. Therefore, be confident that Jesus is with us during storms in our lives and storms in our mission field. Some of you would recognize the hymn titled Moment by Moment. It is an old hymn that speaks of what God does in the storms of life. The lyric says, never a battle with wrong for the right, never a contest that he does not fight, never a trial that he is not there, never a burden that he does not bear, never a sorrow that he does not share. Moment by moment, I am under his care. Never a heartache and never a groan, never a teardrop and never a moan, never a danger, but there on the throne, moment by moment, he think of his own. Never a weakness that he does not feel, never a sickness that he cannot heal. Moment by moment, in all or in will, Jesus, my Savior, abides with me still. So let us not be unsettled during a storm, for God is with us. If God is with us, why does God allow storms to begin with? The storm that seemed to be unnecessary. God can use the storm to guide us back to our mission. Remember what happened to Jonah? He was running away from God's call. During the storm, Jonah repented and became obedient to God's call. The story is told of a little boy who was floating his boat on a pond when it drifted away. A man came by, saw the boat drifting on the pond, and began throwing stones on the far side of the boat. The boy asked, "What are you doing?" But then something very interesting happened. As the stones struck the water beyond the boat, they created ripples that pushed the boat back toward the boy. Even though the stone disturbed the smooth surface, they achieved the desired result. That is how it is with God at times. When we drift away from Him, He casts the unsettling stones beyond us to guide us back to where we are meant to be. The Apostle Paul had an anchor of certainty in Jesus during the storm and acted with confidence. However, it is difficult for those who do not have faith in God to emulate Paul. They see storms as extremely destructive forces that cause significant damage and radically alter their lives. The Bible says this morning, no matter how terrible a storm may be, it cannot change our earthly mission. Paul had an unshakable anchor in Jesus and was confident that the storm did not change his mission. In fact, Paul reaffirmed his calling during the storm, knowing that he needed to stand before Caesar and testify about the life of Jesus, his death and resurrection. This truth applies to every believer. We have faced many storms in the past and may still be experiencing unwanted changes today. But regardless of the storms and changes we encounter, the mission that God has given us individually and to the churches of Jesus remained unchanged. Let us trust in how God operates in our lives. The storms of life do not mean that God has abandoned us. Rather, God uses them to manifest His sovereignty over our lives and reveal our calling, so that we can find peace and confidence in God's plan for us. A woman caught in a frightening storm in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean had kept all the little children on board from panicking by telling Bible stories. After finally reaching the dock safely, the ship's captain approached the woman, whom he had observed in the middle of the tempest. "How were you able to maintain your calm when everyone feared the ship would sink in this storm?" the captain asked. As she looked up, he noted the same quiet peace in her eyes that she had maintained throughout the journey. "I have two daughters," explained the Christian woman. "One of them lives in New York, the other lives in heaven. I know I would see one or the other of my daughters in a few hours, and it really didn't matter to me which one." Are we facing storms? we do not need to panic or fear. Instead, we should have confidence in God's plan for us. Regardless of the storms, God will guide us to the day we fulfill His mission. Amen.
Now's the time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. You can put your envelope in the plate in the narthex or send it into the office. Thank you.
Jesus, oh, what peace, rivers of pleasure never cease. Trials may come, yet I'll not fear, living for Jesus, He is near. Help me to serve Thee more and more. To praise Thee o'er and o'er, live in Thy presence day by day, never to turn from Thee away. Living for Jesus everywhere, all of my birth. Forsake me, He'll be true. Trusting in Him, He'll guide me through. Help me to serve Thee more and more. Help me to praise Thee o'er and o'er. Live in Thy presence. Jesus, till at last into those glory I have passed, there to behold Him on His throne, hear from His lips my child well done. Help me to serve Thee more.
God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures He below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly recognize your great sacrifice that you made in Calvary, and our whole life is indebted to what you did for us. So with this offering, O Lord, we recognize your love, your sacrifice, your care, your provision for us. And we give you this offering to be a partner of your ministry. So bless it, that it may be used to extend your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our final hymn this morning is number 369, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angel descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we recognize that our life stories has a lot of stories of storms. Storms that we suffer from, but also storms that we overcame with your help. And through the storm, O Lord, you have guided us back to our path and have used us to fulfill your mission. And we will continue on. Our life stories will continue on, even with more storms. But, O Lord, we have confidence in you that you are going to continue to use us in all you do for your glory. So we recommit ourselves to carry out your will in our lives.
encourage us, empower us, that we may not be discouraged, but we will continue to commit ourselves to fulfill your will in our lives. So help us, O Lord, to be your disciples in the world and send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there watching from all now in peace. Any love.